Have your Bibles this morning. You'll notice there is many call it a holy week, the week leading up to the crucifixion of Christ. I want to start with Sunday before Jesus' resurrection. Kind of take you through it. Let you sort of get the atmosphere, the environment that's there. I think a lot of times we don't realize the rejection that's in the air. The hatred that's in the air. The animosity. The jealousy. The bitterness toward the Son of God. You must realize that before this Sunday morning, Peter and James and John could think back and they could think of the times whenever they saw blind Bartimaeus healed by this one called Jesus. They were in the storm in the boat. And they watched him speak to the wind and the sea and they obeyed. They were amazed and they said, "How can this thing be that he has control over the environment? I know they believed he was God, but just like us, when we pray, we don't believe God can do anything. We're all guilty." And yet, they saw him one day have 10 lepers come up to him, and he healed all 10 of them. They were amazed. They saw him go into villages and people bring their sick people in cots. They heard Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And they brought him in cots and they brought him on crutches. And the Bible says, and every one of them was healed. And I'm certain their eyes were just bugging out on stems. My, what a great God we have here. Why didn't everybody trust him? Why are the religious leaders, the Pharisees, so venomous to him? They saw him, Peter saw him heal his own mother-in-law. They one day went and saw some of Jesus' best friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they watched him call Lazarus out of the grave. And they watched him come through that grave door with the rock being removed. And they saw him wrapped up with cloth like a mummy. And he said, "Cut him loose." They were astounded. Well, that same Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a colt or a foal of a donkey. Just like it said in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Direct fulfillment 500 years earlier of a prophecy. 700 years earlier of Daniel chapter 9. When he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, it was a fulfillment of Daniel's 69 weeks of years to the day. And I don't know that they all understood it. But they could have calculated it. They could have known. They knew where he was coming. They knew where Jesus was going to be born. Bethlehem of Judea. But they should have known that he's coming into Jerusalem. Just like Zechariah 9 said. And Daniel said. And so he comes in and all the disciples begin to take palm branches and cut them off and lay them in front of him as he's riding a lowly donkey as the King of Kings. And people are worshiping him. They're praising him. And the city's in an uproar. You've got the religious intelligentsia that want him dead. And you've got the people, the common people that have been healed. And I'm sure Bartimaeus was there. I'm sure the lepers were there. I'm sure that Peter's mother-in-law was there. And you've got Mary that was 7 demons cast out of her. And the people were there praising him, our Savior, our God. The Pharisees spoke up. You don't have to turn there, but I think that this is where the phrase dumber than rocks comes from. They said, "Would you tell these people to be quiet?" And he said, "If I ask these people to be quiet, the rocks are going to cry out the praise." hence dumber than rocks. The Pharisees said, well, we want you to quiet the crowd. And Jesus said, the rocks are going to cry out. I almost wish he would have done that. I would like to have heard the reaction of hearing rocks all over crying out, he's Savior, he's Lord. On Sunday, there was rejoicing. Then on Monday morning, he went into the temple. And I believe he had been in the temple many times and finally just got fed up with it. The last opportunity, the last week on earth, and he knows it. And he goes in and he drives out all the money changers. He says, my house should be called a house of prayer. My father's house should be called a house of prayer. Get out, get out. And he takes some small cords of rope and flails around and they begin to turn over their tables and they realize he's serious and they begin to leave. And then he sits down and he begins to teach in the temple. The Pharisees are glaring. You can sense the animosity hanging in the air. And yet you can sense a love for this one called Jesus by everyone that follows him. Then, as he taught in the temple, their hearts were stirred. But then on Tuesday, he went to the Mount of Olives and gave the discourse on the Mount of Olives. Part of it was telling of the future, things that would happen, laying it out for them. We can still see that today in Matthew 24. Promised to come again. And I'm sure there's some that just didn't register you're here. Where are you going? In their minds, but nobody would ask. And Wednesday, it seemed like more of a rest day. Not much is mentioned in Scripture about Wednesday. He had preached. He had been preaching day after day after day from Sunday to Monday to Tuesday, and he was tired. And then Thursday morning came in. And evil began to prevail. You begin to notice that Jesus said to his disciples, go into town and you'll meet a man that has an upper room prepared for us. That's where we're going to have the Passover. That's slain the Passover lamb. And we can see their remembrance of God's Passover in the cross. You see, Jesus Christ was only a few hours from death. They didn't sense it. The disciples didn't. The Pharisees already knew we've got someone that's going to betray him. We've paid them the money. Tonight's the night. You'll notice that Jesus goes to the upper room and he sits with his men and they enjoy the Passover. And they think back to Exodus chapter 12, where Jesus said the last of the plagues of Egypt, he said, they'll let you go after this one. And the death angel was going to fly over Egypt and every firstborn would die unless they had taken the word of God literally. Moses said to them, take a lamb, slay the lamb and take the blood and take some hyssop and put it on the two doorposts and the header of the post. And when the death angel flies over, every house that has the blood on the door, I'll pass over you. Hence, the Passover came into existence. The Jews have been celebrating it all these years. Thousands and thousands of years waiting until the Passover lamb would come. The Lamb of God. John the Baptist already told him, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But the Pharisees went over their heads. Many of the Jews, the poor people, began to take notice. They began to see Jesus as perhaps the Passover lamb. The one that would wash away sin forever. He was prophesied that he would come, Genesis 3:15. And so now there's an air of excitement that this is our Savior. But they had no idea the price that would be paid by Jesus. You'll notice they thought back during the Passover. not realizing the one sitting at the head of the table was the one going to die for them in less than 24 hours. They would sit there as Jesus would say, one of you is going to betray me. And they were sad. No, who would do such a thing? Jesus said, he that dippeth with me in the sup, and he gave it to Judas. And the Bible said that Judas immediately went out and left. And for some reason, they were so preoccupied with what things were going on, they didn't even notice. They didn't notice it was Judas. Nothing's ever said. Hey, get out of here, betrayer. No one ever said it. It's like they just missed it. But then you'll notice they decided that they would listen to Jesus as they had this Passover meal. He instituted the Lord's Supper in that passage. You'll notice, if you would, take your Bible. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 22 of the same passage, just before 26. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup when he had given thanks, and they drank all of it. He said unto them, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. You know, he's setting up last things. And then in the passage we read together this morning, I want you to see that we can sense the rejection that's hanging in the air more heavily now. Judas is just outside. He's already left. It's just hanging everywhere. There's a heaviness in the heart, but no one knows why. Evil is about ready to triumph. So Jesus Christ warns the disciples. They go outside. They're out Mount of Olives, they begin to sing. He said, let's sing. They sing a hymn. I think, you know, singing lightens the mood. Singing reminds us of heavenly things. And I think Jesus said, let's sing together. And they sang a hymn, verse 26. They went out, then they went out into the Mount of Olives, and as Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, they looked at him and said, what? We're not going to be offended to you tonight. We love you. And today we can learn a lesson. Is our love real, genuine, deep, or is it shallow like the disciples? Keep in mind, they had much greater opportunities to love Jesus than we do. They had seen him raise the dead and heal whole villages and the lepers and the blind men and all that he had done and control of the wind and the waves. How in the world could they not fall in love with Jesus Christ? But things of this world have a way of stealing our hearts. You're going to notice as we search for the reasons for their failure. Watch verse 28. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Went right over their head. Risen, what's he talking about? And Jesus said to them, verily I say unto thee, surely I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow, you'll notice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Why did he say that? Because Peter spoke up, as Peter always did. Verse 29, Peter said unto him, although all should be offended, yet will not I. Peter said, every one of these 10 guys may be offended, but I'm not going to be. And Jesus said, oh, yes, you are. Verse 31, but he spake the more vehemently, more determinedly, more doggedly. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. So they've all talked through it. We're sticking together. But you're going to notice that in just a little bit, they shift over to Gethsemane. Now I want you to notice as the failure begins, and we have to be careful of all of this. We can learn from this week. Notice if you would in verse 35, and he went forward a little bit, verse number 32, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. Jesus loved to go there. It must have been a beautiful garden. And he says to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And notice verse 33, and he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be very sore amazed and to be very heavy. Now, I don't know if the disciples ever saw Jesus weighted down with the weight of the world. I am certain that he was this day like they had never seen him. And one of the things I don't understand was if you were a friend of the God of heaven and you saw him weighted down, you saw him in verse number 33 to be very heavy. And then he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Why didn't one of them say, Lord, tell us, can we pray with you? Nobody said that. They began to fail. Notice, if you would, verse 35, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Jesus, they watch him as he goes a little bit further and falls on his face and he begins to mumble some words. I don't think they ever heard the words. Maybe they did. Either the Holy Spirit gave it to them by inspiration or they did hear, because they wrote it in Scripture, in the Synoptic Gospels. Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Why didn't they say, Lord, let us pray with you? Why is it none of them said it? Well, we can search for the reasons for their failure. Number one, they didn't listen to him. They didn't listen to Scripture. When Jesus spoke, he was speaking Scripture. He was speaking the words of God. He said, you're going to deny me today. You're going to fail today. Why didn't they say, Lord, help us? Why did they not believe him? Why didn't they listen? Folks, you and I see in Scripture and I don't listen. And I look at it and I say, Lord, why didn't I do that? Lord, I'm sorry I didn't listen. Not listening is a recipe for failure. You're going to notice that Peter, a little bit later on, as they've taken Jesus, and then he follows him afar off, you're going to notice he gets close to him. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn, in verse number 69 of the same passage. And a maid saw him again and began to say to him that stood by, this is one of them. In other words, she identifies Peter as one of his servants, one of his disciples, and he's scared to death now. And he denied it again. Then you know the story, the third time it happened. And a little after that, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. The way you talk, you have a certain brogue about your language, and we know you're a Galilean. That's where he's from. And on top of that, you haven't chimed in with all the jokes, and your language is cleaner, and you're just not like us. You are one of his. Verse 71, and he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man to whom you speak. Now, what caused this? I think one of the reasons that they didn't listen to what he said. Do we listen to Scripture? Do we read Scripture to seek out the ways to prevent failure? Well, you'll notice, the Bible says that they, notice if you would look back over in Mark chapter 14, notice what happens in verse number 36. And he said, I have a father. All things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. He gives us the example of being in the center of God's will. Lord, I see something tomorrow that might happen. I don't want it to happen, but Lord, give me grace as it does. I'll do your will. You'll notice verse 37, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping. You know, folks, we have so many things to take our attention. We have people that work 70, 80, 90 hours a week. We have people that they have pleasures that they enjoy. They watch TV. They do things they enjoy. They travel. And they exhaust themselves to the point where, wow, I sure am tired. And you'll notice the disciples fell asleep. Reason number one, they didn't listen. Reason number two, they exhausted their physical bodies. They got to the point where, and you know, when you and I are really tired, we're not in a good mood to fight. We're not able to stand up and say, I'm not going to do that. When you get tired, you're not at your spiritual best. And so, you know, I've learned to try to get in bed a little earlier. I used to make jokes about my grandparents. You know, that they got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but they'd go to bed early. And I'd go and say, where's Granddad? He's in bed already? And, you know, as a young boy, I wanted to stay up. How many of you like to stay up? Let me see your hand. See you stay up. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. You just have to make sure you don't overexert yourself and get tired to where the old devil attacks. He loves to attack tired people. They're not strong enough to resist many times. I noticed a third thing. They couldn't watch and pray. Notice, he says, verse 38, watch and pray. Again, and they didn't listen. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So we know this, that the number one and two things we ought to do to avoid temptation is to watch out for the old devil. And you can't watch out when you're too tired and you're sleeping or if you're not listening. So when somebody says, watch out, you and I have to be careful. We're looking around. How many of you have driven through Loudoun County and have hit a deer in the past 10 years? How many have ever been driving through and have hit a deer? You've got some, I see people here. Okay. You know what you do? You can tell somebody, watch out. Now, deer come quickly and you don't have much time for reaction. But when I'm on some of these back roads in Loudoun County, I'm driving a little more careful. I'm watching out because I don't want my truck to get deer prints on it, you know, rack prints or hoof prints, either one. I'm kind of watching out because people have told me, hey, you'll see signs. They'll put a sign up that says deer crossing. Deer come through here. People don't pay attention. And so that as they're going through that area, they don't slow down. They're not looking around. And he says, look here. He says, watch and pray. Watch for the old devil's attack on you and be in prayer. Ask for the strength of the Lord. Ask for the will of God. If you don't, you will fail. And the Lord tells them this. Listen to me. Then notice, if you would, he says in verse 38, the flesh truly is ready, but the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I'm telling you, your spirit may want to do what's right, but if your body is tired, you can't do it. Take care of your body. Keep yourself rested so that your body and mind are together. Your spirit can do what's right. Verse 39, and again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep. And I noticed this ominous word, again. If I'm a disciple of the Lord, I'm already ashamed beyond words that I fell asleep the first time. How many have ever fallen asleep during your devotions? I mean, there are times whenever I get up and I go get my shower first, try to wake up, and I'll sit down, and all of a sudden my mind begin to fade a little bit, and I have to say, wait a minute, Lord, please help me. I have to consciously say, Lord, please help me. And now there's times whenever I get physically tired, I'm just going to go home, I'm going to try to go to bed early tonight. I'm not going to, maybe the ball game's on or something that I'd like to watch. I'll say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to bed. So in the morning when I get up, the Lord can talk to me and I can hear it. You see, failure happens when we don't listen to the Lord, when we get tired, when we don't watch and pray. Lord, give me strength. Lord, help me to win the battle that's about to hit me. You and I know sometimes whenever the old devil is after us, you can just sense it. It's an ominous time here. They can sense rejection in the air. And he says, watch out and pray. He knows in the next hour or so, maybe even 30 minutes, that Judas is coming. Watch and pray. They missed Judas going out, that he was the betrayer. And now he tells them, watch out. And they don't watch. Notice, if you would, they fell asleep again. And notice what they say. For their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. It's almost like they looked up at him and said, hey guys, what do we say now? We've fallen asleep twice. And I'm sure Peter, James, and John knew that he was grieving over something. They watched him pray sweat drops of blood. Why didn't those three men, his best friends in the world, go kneel down beside him? Can we pray with you, Jesus? You know, folks, what I've realized, another way that we fail is we don't see as Jesus sees. We don't see like Jesus Christ sees. We don't see when somebody's hurting. We don't see sometimes we can take a $5 bill and give it to someone just to be an encouragement. Or we can pay a utility bill, or we can just say, look, the Lord's burdened me. There are people that faithfully attend, that come up to me and that said, look, I want you to take this money and I want you to give it to somebody in need. And man, I left it on my desk. I just didn't have any feeling that it was the right time to give it to somebody. I don't know why. And then one day I got it out of my office, had it in my pocket. And I was talking to someone, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, this is the person to give it to. I did. And that day, that afternoon, they had a flat and couldn't get to church. And the cost of the tire was almost to the penny of what was in that pocket. That's seeing as Jesus sees. Oh, the person that gave it to me had no clue. They just knew that the God of heaven had burdened their hearts. Are we sensitive to the needs of the Lord? Do we see as Jesus sees? If your wife is carrying a load, if your wife is burdened down about something, do you sit down with her and say, honey, let's pray together? Or your husband or your children? Do you see them struggling in school? I want to take just a minute. How many of you can remember being in elementary school? Let me see your hand. How many of you can't remember anything past 21 years old? Okay, everybody can. All right. Do you remember having some struggles with some academics or with some friends at school? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Yep, almost all of us. You know, wouldn't it have been nice if a teacher would have said, Johnny, you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. Wouldn't it have been nice if your parents would have seen you come home, son, can I pray with you about something? Hey, honey, can I pray with you about something? I see you're a little bit discouraged today. Eyes that see like Jesus sees. Or you come to church and you see someone carrying a weight. Folks, don't come to church and just see what you want to see. Open your heart and your eyes and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. They didn't do that because they were asleep and they were with the Son of God and he had told them, watch out. So we have to be careful. We've got to see like Jesus sees. You'll notice they were focused on self. Verse 41, and he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. The selfishness had so taken over. Remember, selfishness and pride. It was Peter who looked at him and said, everybody may deny you, but I won't. That guy too was asleep. And I'm sure there were other, those disciples said, I can't believe Peter spoke up like that. They were asleep. Remember, they had debates on who would be the greatest. All of them were asleep. And Jesus had warned them. I'm telling you, folks, selfishness will cause all of us to fail. Pride, getting lifted up with pride, will call all of us to fail. It was Peter. It's a clear lesson to us. Which one of the 12 disciples said to Jesus Christ, though everybody leaves you, I never will. You and I have to be very careful to say never and never and never. You know why? Because we can't say that. We need the Spirit of God to give us strength. Now we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. But you'll notice here, they in their minds, their selfish minds, thought they had the Spirit of God with them because they were going to do what's right. But they just let things go in their hearts. When you and I can't see the needs of others, when we can't sense someone's lost, when we can't pray for sinners, when we can't pray for those that we love and care about, we're too busy, we're doing other things. I don't think we're doing evil things as a church family. I just think we don't see as Jesus sees. Compassion about other people. The souls of men. Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and said, the fields are white unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. He was burdened about people. Are we burdened about people? Or are we more worried about how we're going to retire? Folks, could I challenge you today? Don't let the old devil make you a failure. Watch out. Listen to God's word. Pray. Have a list of people you pray for. When you see someone carrying a weight, kneel down and pray for them. When the Holy Spirit burdens your heart to help somebody, help them. There were very few times, but sometimes whenever I was struggling in school, maybe one of the kids that didn't have any struggle would say, did you understand that concept? No, I didn't get that. We'd sit down and we'd talk through it. I appreciated those kinds of friends. I had one in Greek class. And he had a brilliant mind. He would talk to the teacher, sometimes catch the teacher in a mistake. And our Greek teacher had his devotions out of his Greek New Testament. He read it, spoke it. He was brilliant at it. And this guy would sit beside me. They'd go over some concepts. Now, I made A's, B's in Greek, but there every once in a while a new concept would hit me. And I said, man, I didn't get that one. And I'd say, did you get that? Yeah, this. Oh, that makes sense. He could look at me and just listen better. But he had compassion on me. I want you to understand something. You and I have to see as Jesus sees, or we're going to fail. We have to have a compassionate heart, or the opposite is selfish heart. We're going to fail. It's not just about you and I. We're here for a purpose. Let's make an eternal difference. Now, I want you to notice, when you and I fail, I see the remembrance they had of the Passover. We can search for the reasons of failure. We know that Peter denied and cursed the Lord. We know that they forsook the Lord, but why has that happened? A little bit of selfishness, a little bit of tiredness, not listening, a little bit of not watching and praying. You add it all together, you have gross failure of Peter. But let's take Peter and figure out we can strive to recover from our failures. Notice, if you would, look in verse 72 of Mark 14. And the second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, behold, for the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now notice this. And when he had thought thereon, you and I need to back up and think about how we failed. If we had a fight with our mate, back up, think about how we failed. What did we do wrong? Were we selfish? Did we listen? Did we listen to the Holy Spirit? Did we pray about things? How many times have I said the wrong thing because I didn't back up and think about it and then say my word, or back up and think about it and say, pray, Lord, help me to say the right things here. You see, I want you to understand today that there is a remedy for all of our failures, and it is, number one, we think about where we are. Did I pray today? Did I ask the Lord for strength for this battle that I'm in? Am I watching out? Am I careful? Understand, we're only 24 hours from Jesus dying. and they missed it. Rejection is hanging in the air. They can sense that. Now you'll notice the betrayer has already betrayed Jesus Christ. You'll notice in verse 43, now watch this, and immediately while he yet spake, when Jesus looked at him and said the third time, go ahead and sleep on, it's okay. Immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, with him a great multitude with swords and staves. And apparently the noise of the crowd woke them up. And they woke up and said, what's going on? And they see the betrayer come up and kiss him on the cheek. And he's taken. And notice what happens. Verse 50. And they all forsook him and fled. Now watch verse 49. I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. The scriptures will always be fulfilled. If you and I take the word of God to heart, hide in our heart, and obey it, we can avoid failure. Because the scriptures are always going to come to pass. As long as you and I don't try to outdo the scriptures. Well, I heard what Jesus said, but I'm not going to fail. That's what Peter thought. Peter, the words of scripture are always going to come to pass. When Jesus said to you, you're going to have to hear the cock crow twice and you're going to die three times, why didn't right then you fall down and say, Lord, help me. I don't want that to happen. I believe if he would have done that, he could have avoided the failure. But he didn't. He said, he doubled down. I'm telling you, I'll die first, but I won't do that. I will never deny you. You and I have to learn to watch and pray and say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your strength in order to survive. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, but nothing without you, Lord, can I do that's right. So you'll notice, if you would, he recognized, Peter, that he had failed. You and I have to look at ourselves and back up and think. Now, when you notice in verse 72, in verse he said, and when he thought thereon, if we would think first, if we would back up first and think about it, watch out and pray, we could avoid the weeping. But when we have fallen, when we have messed up, when we've said something we'd like to take back, when we've done something we wish we hadn't have done, when we've, as Peter did here, he cursed and swore and he made a denial of Christ. When you and I, by our lifestyle, have denied the Lord, it's time for you now to back up and say, Lord, I see it. I'm sorry. The way we recover from failure is by thinking about what we've done and letting it touch our hearts. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians 7. I want you to see this verse. Look at verse number 9. This is 2 Corinthians 7, 9. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner. Sorrow of the heart leads to repentance. Whenever Peter went out and wept, whenever he realized what he had done. And folks, you and I have to slow down enough to think about what we've done, to think about what we're going to do. If we think about what we're going to do, we can avoid failures. If we think about what we have done, we can make it right. We can recover from our failures. And we get on our knees and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I just want to encourage you with this. Next Sunday, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to go through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we're going to rejoice. Because our great Savior is not in the grave. He's alive today because he kept his word, and that's what Scripture said. But you're going to notice that they didn't even believe that. You're going to see the disciples didn't believe it. Thomas said, I'll not believe he's alive unless I put my fingers in the nail prints of his hand. Why is that? What caused a person to see the dead raised and the storms calm, but yet I can't believe he'd raise us from the dead? Folks, if we're not careful in this room, we'll begin to doubt the plans of Scripture, the promises of Scripture. And that's Satan's plan, to make you doubt the promises of God's word. and thereby we become failures. And tonight, today, I just want to remind you that everyone in this room, if you've messed up this week, if you've messed up this year, back up. Lord, I see it. I'm sorry. Let the Holy Spirit work on your heart and then do what Peter did. I'm sorry. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, do what the thief on the cross did. Remember, on that Friday morning, on that Friday, whenever they're all being crucified, the two thieves and Jesus, they're both cursing and throwing at Jesus Christ until all of a sudden the sun refuses to shine and the one on the cross begins to turn and says, whoa, this must be the Son of God. And he turns to Jesus and said, Lord, would you remember me? Today, you and I, we have a choice. We can win the victory or we can be a failure. This week, there was one whole group and nation that was a failure. They didn't trust Christ as Savior. But there was this few group of people that had put their faith and trust in Christ. And today, I want to challenge you in this room. Don't let the old devil make you a failure. Listen to Scripture. Watch and pray. And if we do get skinning our knees, back up. Lord, I see it. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Lord, I see it. I'm sorry. And tell the Lord that. And he can wipe it away. And every page of tomorrow is clean. You don't have to suffer the results of failure, guilt, loneliness, disappointment. You don't have to have that. We can have victory in our lives. Just these next 3 days were days where the air got heavier when Jesus was in the tomb. But yet, I just want to encourage you, when you see Jesus come out of the tomb, can you imagine the joy and the victory and the excitement? How do we say? What do we do? They took that excitement and told everybody in the known world about Jesus Christ. It can be done, but we've got to listen. Watch, pray, and when we make a mistake, step back. Lord, I see it. Think about it. And if we can ever learn to listen, to watch, and to pray, and to step back first, we can avoid the failures. Today, could I challenge you to be a success? Like Peter was after the failure. I would remind you, he wrote 2 books of Scripture because God saw him change that much. And you and I can too. Let's put the Lord first today and let's purpose in our hearts to be victors and not failures. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. You can be a winner today, a victorious Christian. But you're going to have to think about it. We have to listen to Scripture. Watch and pray. Think about things. Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. If you were to die today, you don't know that you'd go to heaven. Maybe you've never been scripturally baptized, but you'd like to be. Could I encourage you to come and do the will of God this morning? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. I'd urge you, if you need to come and pray at this altar, somebody you need to pray for, you haven't had the eyes of Jesus. You don't see as Jesus sees. Maybe you've been a little bit selfish this month. This week, come put him first. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today, Lord. The last week that you were alive, your words were watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Lord, help us to heed your words and become victors. In your name we pray. Amen.